Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of. Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. So honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. So here's a hard question for all of us. What do you crave more than God? Is it validation, recognition, achievement? Is it alcohol, sugar? Did you know that the average American eats between 150 to 170 pounds of sugar every year? And hear me at the outset here, this isn't about condemnation, but today's show is all about invitation. Maybe it's time for a fast. Dr. John Piper wrote this. He said, if you don't feel strong desires for the manifestation of the glory of God, it's not because you've drunk deeply and are satisfied. It's because you've nibbled so long at the table of the world. Your soul is stuffed with small things and there's no room for the great things. But it can be awakened. I invite you to turn from the dulling effects of food and the dangers of idolatry and to say with some simple fast, this much, O God, I want you. Well, my guest today is Wendy Speak, and she joins me to talk about her book, The 40-Day Sugar Fast, where physical detox meets spiritual transformation. This isn't about just giving up sugar. This is about entering into something with God that will really transform your life. We've got five copies, so whether you're listening to the live radio show or catching the podcast after the fact, this is how you do it. You text the word book to 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. You will get a kickback, just an auto link, and you just fill out a quick short form. That's how you enter the drawing, and that's how we know which book you're looking for. Also, we are giving away one per week of the Beyond Suffering Bible, and it was created by Johnny Erickson and friends about just those who suffer long, those who walk through hardships. They've put together a Bible of devotionals and insights and highlights of key verses for those who walk through the long road of suffering. Giving away one of those Bibles per week. You'll find them on our website. You can enter to win straight at our website, myfaithradio.com. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Wendy Speak is a trained actress, heartfelt Bible teacher who ministers to hearts through storytelling and biblical life application. During her career in Hollywood on shows such as JAG, Melrose Place, and Star Trek Voyager, Wendy found herself longing to tell stories that edify, encourage, and point audiences to Jesus. Well, today she does just that. She writes books, she speaks to groups across the nation, and she leads multiple online fasts and Bible studies each year. She lives in Escondido, California, and she hosts her annual online 40-Day Sugar Fast every January. So this is the perfect time to be talking about it. Wendy, so good to meet you.
I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for having me, Susie.
Yes, looking forward to the conversation. We love to start every day talking scripture, Wendy. I wonder if there's a verse you've been pondering these days you can share with us.
Oh, yeah. One of the cool things that I love about just reading through the Bible, just in order, is that I always feel like God gives me exactly the scripture I need for the day, and I didn't go searching for it. And I'm a girl that loves those little books, like Where to Go When You're Suffering from Depression, where, you know, what scriptures to turn to when you're overjoyed, and you can get some direction there. But just so often God's word, because it is living and active, it just goes right into your circumstances, wherever you turn to. And so reading through it this week, and we've just launched this book, and I've been really busy ministering to women who don't live in my home. And I opened up to 1 Corinthians 13, a very familiar passage. And I've been loving on people outside of my home with this message through radio shows and podcasts and going and speaking at churches. But I just feel like the Lord's reminding me, with all the loving that you're doing outside of the home, it's for naught.
We did not just lose her. Oh my goodness, it looks like we lost her. Isn't that something? So we're going to get her back. In the meantime, I want to pitch again. We've got five copies of the 40-Day Sugar Fast, where physical detox meets spiritual transformation. And while we're waiting to get her, I want to just read one of the excerpts from the book. She says, "We run to sugar for our comfort and our reward. We turn to it in boredom. We depend on it when life is stressful. We crave it when we're depressed, and we use it as confectionery therapy. And even when life is at its best, we celebrate with cake." Now, again, this is not condemnation, but there's something about the invitation to dare to go into a 40-day fast. And there are varying ways to do that. And she'll talk about that when she gets on. Where across the board, when you do the 40-day fast, you give up refined sugars, candies, you know, corn syrup, those kinds of things. And then from there, you decide how much further you want to take it. I think we got her back. Hey, Wendy, are you there?
That's the first. That's never happened before. I was talking and then suddenly nobody was talking with me.
Yeah. Well, here we are. We're so glad to have you. And I thank you that we got you back here. So I was talking about this idea of fasting. Talk about how the idea of fasting was first born in your heart.
Sure. Now, I got to tell the people out there that have never fasted before, this isn't a familiar or comfortable even conversation to have. I wasn't raised in a fasting church. I wasn't raised in a fasting home. I mean, I knew that it existed because if you read through the Bible, you know that people fasted, that God called fasts, that kings called fasts. But I had had a couple of experiences in my young 20s where I felt God put it on my heart to fast and pray. And there are stories of that in the book. But when this really came to be, it's because I was ministering to a group of moms in a Facebook group who were specifically struggling with anger, angry responses towards their children. And I said to them, just very off the cuff, what would happen if we fasted from sugar for 40 days? We can see what happens with our kids when they get that sugar high and then they crash. Is it possible that at 3 o'clock when we're really, really depleted and we're looking for something and we're scrolling on Instagram trying to get our needs met and we're reaching in the back of the pantry for a handful of chocolate chips and we're pouring that highly sugared creamer into our cup of coffee, is it possible that that's doing the same thing to us that we see happening to our kids when they come home from a birthday party, that we get all revved up and then we crash? Is it possible that the words that are coming out of our mouths are affected by the things we're putting into our mouths? What would happen physiologically if we fasted from sugar? But then what's going to happen spiritually in our lives if we fast and pray and we start going to God in lieu of all of the fillers, in lieu of everything that we've been running to? So we start with sugar, and it's amazing year after year when we do this. He starts with the sugar, but like he comes into our lives and he says, thanks for the sugar, but I want it all. And he starts addressing all the things we run to.
Yeah, so many layers. So I was going to say, when you first did that, what would happen? What was the response on Facebook?
It was a surprise to me. They all said yes. I started by saying something like this on my big post when I put it out there. I said, my name is Wendy and I'm a sugar addict. I'm going to fast for 40 days and I want to see how it affects the way that I treat my family. I want to see how it affects my relationship with God. I want to see how it affects my body. I want to see how it affects my thinking, my time in the Word. And everybody said, I'll do it. I mean, not everybody in the world, but thousands of people last year, January, 15,000 of us fasted together. So you said, what happened when you invited them? It resonated with people because I think we know two things. One, we know we sure ingest a lot of sugar. We sure love our sweet tea from Chick-fil-A. I don't mean to step on anybody's toes, but there are things that we really, really crave hard each day. And we know that we're not craving hard for Jesus that way. And then I think people just knew that that they had an addiction, and it's hard to admit that. But when someone confesses it themselves, hey, I've got a sugar addiction, then it kind of opens up the floodgates for other people to say, yeah, I probably do too.
Wow. I read this while we were working to get you back, but I want you to comment on it. You said we run to sugar for our comfort and our reward. We turn to it in boredom. We depend on it when life is stressful. We crave it when we're depressed, and we use it as confectionery therapy. And even when life is at its best, we celebrate with cake. But I want you to talk about the impact of those repeated choices, because again, we step on toes a little bit with this, and this is not obligation. This is not legalism. This is invitation. No. If God is nudging you and dealing with you, then we're saying we're calling you. We're going to just ask you to respond to see what God might do. So talk about, though, if you would, just the physiological, emotional, spiritual consequences of repeatedly turning to, because we, you know, Dr. Troy, he's a doc, a functional med doc we get on once a month, and we just had him on the other day, and he says, when you don't manage your stress, your craving for salt and sweets skyrockets, and you go to carbs, and it creates this vicious cycle in your body. So speak more about that, if you would.
Wow, that's great. I love hearing that. Just physiologically what's going on. Well, before we get to the physiological, I just want to remind all of us that Christ had a very specific invitation. And I love that you keep using that word invitation. This isn't condemnation. This is an invitation. And his invitation was, sometimes he said, come to me. And sometimes he said, follow me. But both are the same invitation. Come to me, he said, when you are weary and you are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so often, it's interesting when we start recognizing what our food triggers are, when we're turning to food, sometimes it is, man, I just need a win at the end of the day. Work was hard. The kids were hard. Excuse me. Marriage was hard, and I just need a bowl of ice cream. And that can be a trigger. But there's also just weariness can be a trigger. Boredom can be a trigger. And so when I started seeing that I was actually in those moments standing in disobedience with God, when he told me, Wendy, come to me. Come to me when you're lonely. Come to me when you're not getting your needs met. Come to me when you want to celebrate. Come to me when you're bored. And I will be the one who walks through all those emotions and all those circumstances with you. And I will fill you up from the inside. I will give you just what you need to handle whatever that trigger is. And so what happens physiologically when we stop turning to Christ and we start turning to sugar or even, and I know that this is very different, but when we're turning to social media, there's a direct consequence of what happens to us physiologically when we don't turn to Christ. So when we don't turn to Christ and we start turning to our sugar, our adrenal glands break down. That's a big one for me. When you ingest caffeine and you ingest sugar, your body responds the same way to those things that they respond to stress. So they release cortisol and other feel-good endorphins into your body to help you cope with the stress. But if you deal with a lot of stress, maybe you've heard of this, Susie, you can have something called adrenal fatigue, right? You're pumping. Mm-hmm. And it wears them out. It's possible to wake up and have your latte, and then when you need that little pick-me-up late in the morning, you grab a handful of chocolate-covered almonds to get you through. And then maybe you had a salad for lunch with your sweet tea at Chick-fil-A. But then in the afternoon, you have the leftover cookie from last night. And your body is constantly pumping out cortisol to respond to all of the sugar and all of the caffeine. And our bodies can actually break down. And God had such a good plan. One, he said, come to me, because spiritually, I'm what you need. But when we start running to other things, it actually makes our bodies not able to do what Christ made them to do, which is deal with stress, deal with loneliness, get good sleep, wake up ready to go again. So the physiological and the spiritual really weave together.
I'm going to pause here. That's fantastic. Talking to Wendy Speak today. Her book is titled The 40-Day Sugar Fast, Where Physical Detox Meets Spiritual Transformation. She says, we've been running to sweet snacks to get us through our days for far too long. It's become a habit. No, worse than that, it's become an addiction. An addiction works much like a prison. We're unable to break out of the bars and the bondage that hold us back from health and wholeness. You know, God has more for us. He absolutely has more for us. We've got 5 copies. We'd love to get one into your hands. You enter the drawing this way. Just text the word book to 877-933-2484. There's a short form, but that sure helps us out a lot. You'll be entered in the drawing. If you've got questions, comments, in a separate text, send those along as well. Again, 877-933-2484 or email middays@myfaithradio.com. When we come back, we're going to talk about the actual fast, what it looks like, what to expect, how to prepare for it. More with Wendy Speak in a moment. Just keep moving on. Just keep pushing ahead. Yeah, the new has come. so much. From I love that song. From keep moving on. I'm getting my words mixed up. Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to Wendy Speak, who just released the new book, The 40-Day Sugar Fast, where physical detox meets spiritual transformation. And we're talking about breaking free. You were saying in the book that fad diets and workout plans, while they may be helpful and healthy to a degree, they cannot set us free like God can. So let's go back. So you're on Facebook. You had a Facebook group about just dealing with anger as moms. And a guy... I got to just say this again. We've got quite a few men listening. So this fast isn't just for women. But in that context, you were saying to these moms, what if we give up sugar for 40 days? In fact, I'm giving up sugar for 40 days. Are you with me? 15,000 people joined you. I want you to talk. Tell us some stories of how God met you, how God met others through this fast. And then we'll kind of back up and talk about how it actually works.
Sure, absolutely. Well, those first couple of years, there were a couple thousand people that did it. And every year, I've been so surprised because the same people keep coming back and bringing friends. And I think that that's just a testimony there that there's life change and they want more of Christ. So yes, is there a sugar addiction? Yes. But we're not crowding out the sugar by ingesting more healthy food, though that happens naturally when you stop eating the unhealthy food. But the focus doesn't go from sugar fixation to sugar-free fixation. Really what we're doing is we're fixing our eyes on Christ, and he starts fixing our lives. It really is just amazing. So even though it was the women that signed up, the results were so powerful that husbands started coming along, and then families started coming along, and now it's an annual thing that families do together where they're opening the Word and they're consuming more of Christ and less of the stuff that doesn't satisfy. And so you asked, what are some of the stories? I love the stories. It seems to me that every year there seems to be a new theme. And so while we start by giving God our sugar, he ends up by giving us just these blessings that seem like maybe they don't even have anything to do with our sugar addiction. There was a year where there must have been half a dozen or more marriages that were restored. There was a year when there were so many children being prayed for physical ailments that were just miraculously healed. There was a year when a woman sent me a testimony, and she said, Wendy, I've been deaf for 10 years, and during the sugar fast, I regained my hearing. I wasn't even praying. I wasn't even asking for my hearing. But the Lord just comes rushing in to our hungry-bellied, fasting presence and says, I've got blessings for you. And I'm reminded so much of the scripture that says, abide in me and I will abide in you and you're going to bear fruit. And there are some times where I think fasting is abiding on a gut level. It's on an empty gut level. And we're more hungry to abide, more aware of the abiding because we're not running to those temporary things. We're running to the only eternal thing, which is Christ. And he says, I'm not just going to change the thing you brought me for the fast. I'm going to change your life. And it's what he does all throughout the scriptures and all throughout these testimonies.
So, Wendy, how about you? In what ways did God surprise you as you engaged in this sugar fast?
Well, that's interesting because I would say the last 2 years, and we're getting ready for our sixth year right now, the last 2 years, it's been actually in my relationships, and that's where we started with the fast was if you're losing your temper with your kids, if you don't have the energy for your spouse, if you can't cope with stress because you're crashing from you're coming off your sugar high and you're crashing, it's going to change your relationships. And I noticed more that it just awakened my spiritual life. But in the last couple of years, I'm noticing how it's affecting my ability to stay calm and kind in all of my relationships, rather than acting emotionally in moments of stress. So I've just finished a 40-day fast with a group, a launch team of friends, as we got ready to release this book. And during those 40 days, my teenager had made some really bad choices, like just really poor teenage choices. And I was listening to myself. You ever talking to someone, it's almost like an out-of-body experience. I was listening to myself respond to him, and I thought, wow, look at you, Wendy, how calm you are. Look at how how kind you're being. Look how much empathy you have. You're not making this about you and your emotional response to your child's sin. You're just helping them. You're just being a mom. With the help of the Holy Spirit, God's word was applicable. My mind was clear. I could deal with the problem as my child's parent. And it wasn't all about my emotions. And so it actually, recently, my biggest blessing from this has been just how calm I've been. It's so nice to be not jacked up, you know, from what I've been ingesting. And just be, I'm fueled by what I'm eating, but I'm more fueled by what I'm consuming spiritually. The Word of God is living and active. It's coming in me. It's coming out of me. And I just feel the presence of the Holy Spirit and the ability by His help to stay calm and stay kind. So that's been a recent benefit.
Wow, that's so great. Well, I'm looking at my clock, about 2.5 minutes to our hard break at the bottom, so we'll definitely pick this on the other side. But take a couple minutes, if you would, and talk about just before you begin. You have a section in the book about before you begin. And friends, I want you to know this isn't as hard as you think it may be, unless you eat sugar all day long and eat nothing else. But it really is very doable. But you say at the very beginning to pray and discern what that fast should look like for you, because it isn't exactly a one-size-fits-all.
Right. Absolutely. And I would say to the women who really do wake up and have a Dr. Pepper for breakfast and then a Snickers bar midday, and there are women who are doing that, and men, and we're feeding our body on sugar. We're going from sugar high to sugar high instead of starting to turn to the Most High, and He's what we need to get through our days. If that is the level of addiction that you're struggling with, then it might be for you that you're fasting from Dr. Pepper and candy bars. And that's where you start. But what we do is, because even though we do this corporately in January, and you don't have to join a community fast, because fasting is so private, I encourage people to take the details of the fast to the one who is Lord of the fast, the one that you're wanting help from, the one that you're wanting to be with in lieu of being with everything else you thought you needed to sustain you through your days. He's going to give you clear directions. And how do I know He will? Because He always does. I always feel at the beginning of these community fasts, oh no, everyone's going to be so upset that I'm not telling them what their fast is supposed to look like. But instead, I tell them, turn to Christ, ask Him for clear marching orders as you march into this, what feels like it's going to be a battle. And you know what? He does it. Just like Joshua in the Battle of Jericho, and the Lord gave them clear directions on how to bring that stronghold down. That's what's going to happen as you face the stronghold of sugar. The stronghold's going to come down. You're going to experience His stronghold, and He's the one that's going to tell you how to fast.
Boy, that's so good. So when we come back, we're going to kind of break it down and some of the things that you suggest that anybody who's doing the fast get rid of from your diet. But maybe, as Wendy was saying, you just know it's my morning Snickers and Dr. Pepper. Hey, that's a start. Every step, I always say, every step towards health and healing matters. Every single step. Talking to Wendy Speak today, the book is titled The 40-Day Sugar Fast, where physical detox meets spiritual transformation. And we'll be weaving that whole idea of spiritual transformation in this, because it isn't just abstaining from sugar. It really is engaging the Lord of the fast, as Wendy says. Got 5 copies to give away, and I would love to get one into your hands. Enter the drawing this way. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. And that goes for you if you're listening to the live radio show or the podcast after the fact. Short form to fill out, and that puts you in the drawing. So glad to have you listening today. More with Wendy Speak in just a moment. Had to let that song play out. Isn't that fantastic? Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to Wendy Speak. She just released the book, The 40-Day Sugar Fast, where physical detox meets spiritual transformation. What a timely conversation. I am thrilled to say, thanks to Baker Books, we've got 5, count them, 5 books to give away today. You enter the drawing this way. You just text the word book to 877-933-2484, and you'll get a little quick kickback auto link and just a short form to fill out that puts you in the drawing. If you've got questions, comments, send those in a separate text. You can also email middays@myfaithradio.com. So Wendy, you have kind of, you were saying before the break that really to discern what God is saying, and it might be if you are a full-blown sugar addict and you've got candy bars and soda for breakfast, that might be your first place to start. But in general, you have some basic rules that you suggest, getting rid of refined sugars and such. So take it from there, if you would.
Sure, sure. So I tell them, this is just us saying to refined sugars, high fructose corn syrup, our sodas and our baked goods, anything that's got sugar in it like that. However, take the specifics of the fast to the one who owns your fasting days and owns your life and wants to be the sweetness that you're running to. And so some people say, well, that's all condiments too. And that's, I'm looking at the labels on my marinara jar before I make spaghetti. And other people are saying, I'm not worried about that. It's the way that I run to sugar to cope with emotional stress that I'm really aware of. So I'm going to say no to all snacking. And some women start, and then they let me know within a couple of days, God wants my alcohol. God, he wants my 5 o'clock glass of wine, and he wants my cigarettes too. And then some women say, the sugar is good for me, but you know what he really wants? He wants social media. He wants me to start coming to him instead of hiding behind my screen. So I throw that last one in there to say that, yes, it starts with us getting an idea of how we're turning to sugar, but it's so much bigger than that. So the basic premise of the start of this book is, let's lay down our refined sugars and lean into the refining of God. But if anything else is getting in the way of being refined by God because you're running to something else other than the crucible of his presence, then lay that down too. But let's just start with our sugary treats.
Mm-hmm. So sugary treats. So it's like she said in the book, really, it's such a matter of conviction. Some may say, I'm getting rid of all the ketchup and the mayo and all that. Others are saying, you know, it's just not an issue for me. But my default thing, this is what God is highlighting. That's why you say start by praying and asking the Lord, what should this look like? Well, the next thing you talk about is adjusting your kitchen, emptying your kitchen of certain things. Say a word about that.
Absolutely. If we don't clear out the temptation, then we're constantly surrounded by temptation, right? So as you prepare for your heart for the fast, so you've got your book, okay, if you wanted to do it in community with us in January, you've joined the Facebook page. I mean, there's some preparations that you're going to do. So let's also prepare our kitchens. And most of us, if we really do have a tendency daily to turn to sugar instead of Christ, you know, so many of us say, I'm too busy, you know, or maybe we can give 5 or 10 or 14 minutes to some time with the Lord in the morning. But for the rest of the day, when the stress comes and the waters rise and the storm starts to beat against our little boats, are we grabbing hold of Jesus and saying, Jesus, wake up, there's a storm? Or are we saying in those storm, tempest-tossed moments, I'm going to go to this and I'm going to go to that in my kitchen, or I'm going to stop at Starbucks because I just need something to get me, you know, calm before I get home. And if those things are around us, then let's clear out some of the temptation. I don't know about you, but I've got a drawer or a cupboard in my house where all of the extra treats from holidays get stashed after the holidays are through. Whether that's, you know, Reese's peanut butter cups from Halloween, we just, you know, maybe your kids brought home a whole bunch of candy and you siphoned off the stuff you like best and you put it in your drawer. Or my goodness, I was raised going to seize candy when we would go to the mall, and my mom would get us a little box of it and we would use that for our special, you know, celebrations. So if you have something, maybe it's time to just clear it away. Just toss it. It might feel like you're tossing money, but really you're tossing the temptation. And there's going to be plenty of temptation during the 40 days. There already will be. So let's just get rid of the stuff that's obvious there in our house. And let's prepare our homes as we prepare our hearts for fasting.
And then you say stock your pantry and fridge with things like raw nuts, dried fruit. I love that you said RX bars because those are my favorite.
They're
And poultry, eggs, chicken. Say more if you would.
Yeah, and I, there's this I worked really hard in the book to not talk about food, which may seem silly. I mean, we're talking about food here, right? But we're not. We're talking about ingesting more of Christ. So my biggest advice when preparing your kitchen is stock it with things that aren't going to make you obsess about eating sugar-free. Remember, we don't want to go from a sugar focus to a sugar-free focus. We want to focus in on Christ, right? We want to fix our eyes there, not on our sugar fixations or our sugar-free fixations. Because if you did something like the Whole 30, when I've done things like that before, just a physical detox, a diet, I've thought to myself, ooh, I want to have all the awesome sugar-free recipes. I want to become the best sugar-free cook on the planet. And that's not the goal. The goal isn't that you become this wonderful cook in your home right now for sugar-free options. There may be a time for that, but really I keep coming back to the whole focus is to see Christ as the only option. So prepare things for your fasting days, which you know you like, but you don't have to think about all the special recipes that you can make. So what I do is at the beginning of each week on a Sunday night or on Monday afternoon, I'll make a big thing of chili. I'll make a big thing of taco meat, or I'll make a big batch of pulled pork that my family loves, but I won't throw in all the sugary ingredients, right? I'll make a big thing of chicken salad. I love chicken salad, to just put a scoop of it on top of my salad in the afternoon. So it's not that I'm not eating. It's that I'm preparing, because so often we turn to something quick and sugary and highly processed because we're not prepared. So as you prepare for the fast, make a couple big batches of something. Put one of them in the freezer. Put one of them in your fridge. But we don't talk about this a lot. Just a little bit to say, hey, as you get ready, get your kitchen ready too, so that you're not thinking about it. And I'm reminded of the scripture, don't think about what you're going to eat or drink. Don't think about what you're going to wear. The Lord knows. And yet, if we think just a bit and we get it ready, then it's less of a temptation to obsess about, but I'm hungry, what am I going to eat or drink?
Yep, just less to think about, because you're stewarding that moment, so you don't have to think about it, so that you can focus on the spiritual aspect. So when you're in the 40-day fast, what does your pursuit of God look like? How does it change? What's different for you?
Yeah, well, we were just talking about food, and Susie, I found that when we're fasting, it's important to let ourselves actually get hungry a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I encourage people, if you go multiple times throughout the day to sugar, don't just have something ready. Don't just grab an RX bar. Let yourself actually get a little hungry. Because what I found is when you get physically hungry during a fast, you start to get more spiritually hungry. You start to say, oh, that's right, Lord. I'm supposed to be turning to you. And so there's this wonderful quote. It says, let the hunger pangs work like church bells calling you to prayer. Mm. And so the hunger pangs are actually really anointed by God to drive us in our hunger for more of Him. And there is this thing that happens in the first week or so. I remember the first time that I fasted, I was really excited. I thought that I was just going to be kind of like walking with a spring in my step and full of joy. I was like, I know God's word. He says, in your presence is fullness of joy. I am going to experience so much joy. And that's what I entered the fast expecting. And for the first week, I cried. I was crying. I think there was the physical element of my body was detoxing. So I just felt cruddy, right? So I felt weepy and nasty, but on a spiritual level, I recognized every time I was hungry, every time I wanted to turn, just because it had become habitual, my turning to sweets, I was reminded that I had been living a life of not turning to Christ, but turning to other things. And I got very, very sad. And Joel 2:12 says that the Lord invites us. He says, return to me with weeping and with mourning and with fasting. And I had to go through a season in those first days of weeping and mourning as I fasted. And I think it's really important, because that's what leads us to repentance. the kindness of the Lord leads us to repentance. And how kind of God to let us see that our tendency has been to turn to anything, and for some of us, everything other than Christ on every day other than Sunday.
Yeah, I'm thinking as you're talking, Acts 3:19 says, repent so that times of refreshing may come. So that is the process.
Oh, yeah.
So often is when the conviction comes, the repentance comes, then refreshment comes after that.
Oh.
But when we get so busy numbing out so we don't have to feel and doing, and this is the thing, is we are in a rat race culture, and it lends itself to shortcuts every which way, and those shortcuts over time weaken us. And so that's the thing. It's important that you talked about the detox process, because if we have an expectation we're going to go right to feeling great, we're going to be disappointed. There is a process of detox. So say a word if you just worried about it's real. Talk about just the physiological aspect of that. And I would just be curious to know for you, when did you start to bounce back? And actually, because you really do bounce back and suddenly the light goes on in your brain, your body starts to feel
amazing.
Good. Yeah. So talk about that process.
Oh, that's such a great question. I find that for me, it can be 3 days to a week. Now, 6 years ago when I started it, I would say that the first time through was hard for almost all of it in terms of the impulse to turn to something else. Like that took a longer training period. But the physical experience of hard, generally for me, takes up to a week. And this year, this last year, something new happened. I've never been a coffee drinker. And I've always liked shakes in the morning, like a protein shake. And I've always liked the smell of coffee, and my husband drinks coffee. And so about a year ago, I started throwing a cup of coffee in with my chocolate shake in the morning. And I love it. It's, you know, like a mocha. It's really sweet. It's almost like a milkshake without all the sugar. And so I had become a little dependent on the caffeine in the morning. And so as I was preparing for this last fast, I thought, okay, Lord, you know, I'm supposed to, let me practice what I preach in the book. What do you want from me? Because I don't have a lot of sugar in my diet, but I do want to fast. I don't just want to lead a fast. Is there anything else that you want from me that I'm turning to habitually or sinfully? And he said, yeah, give me your coffee in the morning. And so I have to say that was harder for me than the sugar has been in the last years, because it had been my wake up in the morning, even if I had stayed up too late at night. And so that one took a little bit longer, but I was thinking so much. There's so many scriptures about, like I mentioned before, about Christ, and that He lives in us, and he wakes us up, and he's got good plans for our lives, good purposes for us to walk in. And I want him to be the one that wakes me up. There's a warning in Jeremiah. It says, women, wake up. Don't become complacent. And so when I got off of the caffeine this year, I felt like God was waking me up. Like I didn't want to use some synthetic or food-based caffeinated wake up anymore. I wanted to say, God, I want you to have this part of my life too. It's not sugar maybe, but I see now that there's more of you that I want access to. Would you be my wake up in the morning? And so the physiological detox, it depends kind of where you are in the process, but I would say expect a week of the sugar flu or the caffeine flu, you know?
All right. Thank you for that. We're going to pause here. When we come back, I want to really talk more about the soul work and what it looks like where you even up your game as you're maybe reducing things, taking things out of your diet, then you're filling that space with the pursuit of God, time in his word. I want you, Wendy, just to speak about what that looks like. And she writes, if you want the Lord to do a deep soul work in you, slip off your shoes, place the soles of your feet on holy ground. God is at work in you, and you get to march barefoot and believing through these 40 days. Plant your feet on the solid ground of faith. Talking to Wendy Speak again, we've got 5 copies of her book, The 40-Day Sugar Fast, where physical detox meets spiritual transformation. Imagine what that would be like if you enter in and you come out the other side with new revelation of who you are to God and who he is to you. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484, and we will be back in a minute.
Jesus is the cure. Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. Talking to Wendy Speak, her book is titled The 40-Day Sugar Fast, where a physical detox meets spiritual transformation. We've got 40 copies. Wouldn't that be amazing? Well, we do have five. You can text the word book, 877-933-2484. And I said we were going to get into the spiritual aspect, and we've been talking about that throughout the hour, which I'm super grateful for. But before we delve in a little bit deeper, this dear listener asks a great question. Deb writes, does this mean when she goes on the 40-day fast, giving up coffee, does she not go back on once the fast is complete? And I'd like to expand on Deb's question in that, what does that look like when you break free from something? How do you maintain freedom? What does that look like?
Oh, great question. And for coffee, for me, I wasn't doing a lot of it. So I'll just say I've been off the fast now for 4 days and I haven't had any coffee. Because I realized during my time that I didn't want to go to something else for the source of my wake up in the morning. I really wanted to go to the Lord and say, wake me up, Lord. Give me clarity on your purposes for my life today. So for me, that's just how I dealt this time in the last 4 days with coffee. This is new for me. But the real question, I think, for the majority of the men and women listening is, well, what about, does this mean I'm going to be sugar-free? And I think that the better question is, am I going to live free? So if you can't have sugar without remaining spiritually free, then maybe you should be sugar free. If you can't open up Facebook and Instagram without falling right into the virtual rabbit hole of needing to spend hours there every day, then maybe you should say no to social media in general. And so that's what I found. After each sugar fast, I become more sugar-free as a lifestyle. Mm. And after 5-6 years of it, I'm pretty much sugar-free. There are a couple things I eat that the real sugar in it, I mean, using real sugar rather than a sugar substitute, I want to do that, especially as we come up on the holidays. So instead of overindulging in them, though, I say, hey, I'm pretty much sugar-free. I don't need a whole lot of this, but I am going to have a little bit of it because there's freedom to do that. But if you can't have a little bit, I mean, think of any addiction, right? If you can't have a little alcohol without having a lot of alcohol, then it would be better for you physically, spiritually, relationally, emotionally, to remain alcohol free. And sugar is very, very addictive. So if that's what you find, wow, I love how I feel physically. My skin's clearer. My pants fit better. I feel more mentally alert. It's like the sugar cloud has lifted and there's so much clarity, both intellectually and spiritually, where I feel like I'm actually hearing from the Lord more. I hear his voice say, this is the way. Walk in it. Don't go left. Don't go right. Walk straight. And if you start hearing that for 40 days, then it's not a matter of, well, am I allowed to have sugar now? What's up? No, it's a matter of, how do you want to live? Do you like how you feel? Physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, relationally? Do you have more energy for your spouse at the end of the night?
You know, one thing I've been thinking about. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No,
go on. Finish there. I was just going to say what I've been thinking about is, you know, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And there's another place in the Old Testament it says that the heavens gasp. The heavens gasp when they see us broken from broken cisterns that cannot satisfy when we've got the true, pure living water available to us. My paraphrase there. But the idea of everything I've ever given up for a fast so that I could have more of the Lord, I marvel at how simple-minded I've been to think that I could find satisfaction in something so earthly and so stupid and small when I experience the greatness of God. And so this is why this is not legalism. It really is. There is something in God that we can experience when we're saying, I'm going to lay this thing down so I can have more of you. And another quick question from a listener, Emily says, when you keep saying I'm pretty much sugar-free, does that only include refined or eating fruit okay, berries and such? What do you say?
Yeah, that's a great question too. I do have fruit, and I even when I'm baking sometimes for my family, I'll use honey or maple syrup or swerve, erythritol, monk fruit sometimes. So I have sweet things that I serve my family. Now, I do encourage, all the details are between you and the Lord as you fast. But what I do personally when I fast is I fast from all sweets. So that means I'm not using the honey, I'm not using my maple syrup, I'm not using Splenda or Stevia. I'm just going to say, the whole sweetness, Lord, is you. That's all I want. Just sweeten everything, Father. Let me go without sweetness so that I might just run to your satisfying word. I'm reminded of the Passover meal that the Jews eat, and they eat these herbs because they're bitter, and it helps them to remember their time in captivity. And I find, again, kind of like the hunger pangs calling us to prayer, the fact that I'm not satisfying my sweet tooth reminds me that I'm going to God. So when you say, are you living sugar-free pretty much after the fast? Because that was really what the question was. That means I have some berries, but you know what's interesting is your taste buds start to change when you get off of Reese's peanut butter cups for breakfast. I mean, they really, really do start to change. And so a bowl of raspberries can be a small bowl of raspberries and be really satisfying. And a little bit of honey in my tea can be very satisfying, even though I used to like to put the sweet creamer in my tea that was full of refined sugars. So there are lots of things that I like now. A half a glass of kombucha instead of a big 16-ounce bottle of Coke. So my taste buds are changing. My desire is changing. And my life is changing because instead of ingesting those things on a regular basis, there's more and more feasting on Christ. So the whole point of the fast is that we fast from sugar so that we feast on Christ. And then that when we come to the end of the fast, the real question is, hey, if you don't want to live a life fasting, I still want you to live a life of feasting. And that's the goal, Susie. The goal isn't fasting. The goal is feasting. But what are you feasting on? So when we stop feasting on the things that have never satisfied, we start feasting on the only one who can. When we stop running to these temporary things, we start running to the eternal thing, the eternal one. And it doesn't just change our lives. It changes. I mean, it doesn't just change our diet. It changes our lives.
Very good. I'm just pondering. This question came in. We just got a couple minutes left here. I need to be on social media for our family business, and the platforms require me to maintain a personal account, too. And I'm the same way, Becky, by the way. But she says, I find myself getting caught up on Facebook and Instagram. How do I balance this? What do you say, Wendy?
I love it. Love it. I love that question because it's not a matter of, I mean, do we have to eat food? Yes, we have to eat food. But can we put boundaries around what we're eating? Absolutely. And the same is true. I'm on social media for the books as well. When I ask people, how did you hear about the book? The number one way is it was shared on social media. And social media isn't the evil thing, you know? Is it possible that we can put boundaries around it the same way we would put boundaries around a meal time? So sometimes when we're fasting, I hear from women say, God's really asked me to lay down snacking. So I would use that same snacking metaphor for time on social media. So when's your meal time? When do you need to be doing your quote-unquote work? So for me, I choose a couple of days where I work really hard on outlining all of my posts for the month. And then I get them scheduled. And then this is my personal boundary, my number one boundary for social media, whether it's personal or work. I do not open up social media until I've gotten social with the Lord. I do not open up my phone until I've opened up the Word of God. Amen. for some significant amount of time where I've heard from Him, He's heard from me. And once I've done that, and now that I have three teenage boys, I say, listen,
have to jump in.
All phones are... Oh, hey, go for it.
I'm so sorry. We are up to the end of our show here, and that we could continue on. I wish we could. Thank you, Wendy, for the time. Great, great content. We wish you God's best.
Thank you
so much. Wendy Speak is my guest today. Her book, The 40-Day Sugar Fast. We'll keep that drawing open for a few more minutes. Great question, Becky, by the way. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. See you back here.
next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Middays with Susie Larson. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.